morning, folks. Let's call this meeting order. We have a lot of interest in the bill this morning. We only have an hour and like to get moving. It is 9 minutes after nine, and it's April 20th. With us this morning, Representative Jewell, Wilson, Stevens, Green, Porter, and myself, Bundy. We do have on today's calendar HB 105. This first hearing of the bill, and we'll take testimony and not plan on moving the bill today. We have, excuse me, a good many people on teleconference, Sitka, Delta Junction, Onalaska, Nome, Kodiak, Mat-Su, Kenai, Wrangell, Kotzebue, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. As I said, we only have an hour, so please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and if you'd like to fax your remarks or any extended remarks to us for the record, our number is 465-3871. We'd be happy to put those in the record. And with that, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, Representative Stevens, understand you have a CS for us.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the CS for House Bill 105, and it's in front of you.
Without any objection, we will adopt as our working document. Representative Jewell is looking.
Speak to it for objection. I'll object before
we go. Representative Jewell.
What's the difference in this that we would reduce the amount that would go into the formula?
Representative Stevens.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this reduces it from $29 million to $20 million total. And as you can see, the difference goes from $147 down to $101 per student.
And why the difference? I mean, why the change, not the difference?
Well, very, very practically, it's just a matter of the support for that I think is there for $20 million, but it's simply not there for $29
million. Rep. Struel, may be a case of infinite need but finite resources. Do you maintain your objection?
Chewing on my ice, Mr. Chairman. actually, yeah.
Okay. Could we have a vote, please?
Representative Wilson? And this is just for the...
To adopt the CS as our working document.
To amend it down to 29.
You should have a CS on your desk.
Yeah, I've got it. No.
No.
Representative Stevens?
Yes.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Guest?
No.
Representative Porter?
Yes.
Representative Green?
Yes.
Chair Bundy?
Yes. So we have adopted the CS as our working document. And would you care to make any opening statements, and we'll certainly then look forward to...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try and be brief. This is very hard for me to have this CS because I had hoped that we would get to the $29 million, but I think this is a reasonable compromise at this point. And certainly one of the most important things we do here in the legislature is to fund education. We certainly know that education has taken a tremendous hit in the last few years. At the same time, it's taken a hit at the same time that we're demanding more of the system in terms of the exit exam. At the same time, we're demanding, facing serious problems in terms of finding and retaining qualified teachers and administrators. In the last 10 years, we've seen a 30% increase in the cost of living index, but at the same time, we've only seen a 5% increase in the funding formula. And that's putting a tremendous strain on our districts and our boroughs. Of course, the foundation formula, just basic information, is based on a specific dollar amount per student. The base student allocation established in 1998 was at $3,040 per student, not been changed since then. This committee substitute increases this allocation by $101, so that becomes a per student dollar of $4,041. Actually, I think I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman. That's the basic information, and I'd be glad to hear any comments anyone has.
All right, thank you. Questions for Representative Stevens? We do have, as I said, a number of people who would like to testify. I will take the people on teleconference first, so we can free that up, and then we will come back here to Juneau, and we'll endeavor to get everyone in. Beginning in Nome, Mike Murphy.
$100,000 in state aid foundation money. In fiscal year 2002, we'll be receiving $4,929,000, basically for the same amount of students. Over the years, our foundation money is going down because of factors involved in figuring it out. And yet, costs keep going up. The foundation is not bringing in enough money for us to operate our schools in a desired manner to give our students the best education, especially with all the demands to meet standards and everything else like that. So in order to meet our desired budget for fiscal year 2002, we're having to come up with over 40% of the local effort, which is putting an undue burden on the town itself. There just isn't that money available. We've been doing our job over the years. We just don't have a lot of excess in our budget to cut anything. If we don't receive any increases here, and even this $101 is only going to bring an additional, about $80,000. That still doesn't cover the cost of what we received a few years ago. And then when you do the inflation factor in it, it's even less. Those are the basic points I just want to bring forward today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We agree that education is an important investment. Chair, I'd like to recognize, for the record, Representative Guest has joined us, and Senator Davis. Deja vu, as we talk about education again. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's go on to Kenai now. We have Melody Douglas, please.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this House Bill 105 today. I'm Melody Douglas. I'm Director of Business and Finance for the Kenai School District. And we want to testify on behalf of our students in support of this House Bill 105. That the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is at the cap as determined by the foundation formula, and the additional revenue realized for this particular amendment, increase of $101, would basically fund a one-year increase in our salary schedule. We're facing about $1.2 million to $1.4 million increase annually for our salaries and related benefits, so
thank you, Melody, and please extend on behalf of the committee and I suspect the legislature our thanks to Kenai for being so incredibly responsible and supportive of education at the local level.
Thank you very much.
That would take us to Sitka and John Holtz, please.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. And you'd heard Kenai testify that they're at the cap for the local contribution. Where's Sitka in that? Thank you. It certainly strengthens your argument to know that you're doing all you can locally. Representative Stevens, did you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to comment. We have had several people talk about the amount they'd receive under this committee substitute, and there's been some incorrect figures out there. Just so people will know, Sitka will be up $230,000, Kenai Peninsula Borough up $1.497, and Nome up $95,000. And Mr. Jeans will be commenting on all of this later, but I thought they should know that.
Would you do me a favor, as I call each area to testify, would you let us know how much of an increase they could expect? Thank you. I'd like to go off net now and go to Dave Jones, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Dave Jones, and I'm the Director of Finance of Kodiak Island Borough School District. I have talked individually with each of you or one of your aides, and I have previously testified before this committee, so I don't want to take your time today addressing the need for the increase in revenues this bill will bring. What I do want to address is the need for the additional revenue to be delivered in this particular vehicle. One of the goals in SB 36 was to provide a system that would provide resources to school districts across the state in an equitable manner. The intent was that future increases in revenue would be distributed through an increase in the base student allocation value. Unfortunately, subsequent funding increases have come in the form of quality schools or learning opportunity grants. It appears that on the Senate side, they're currently favoring additional dollars through an addition to the learning opportunity grant with specifically designated areas of expenditures. The problem with that is that not all school districts across the state have the same needs. We don't have needs for nursing in Kodiak because we currently provide nurses. We do have needs for additional fuel and electricity charges that we're facing. So what we'd have to do is, if we got the money in the form of a learning opportunity grant, we would need to move money that we currently had budgeted in those specific areas in our operating fund into the learning opportunity grant. We could then be able to move the money that had been freed up in our operating fund into fuel and electricity. The problem with that is then that the learning opportunity grants don't count in the 70-30 calculation for instructional expenditures that was required by Senate Bill 36. So in effect, by the money not being put through the base student allocation value, we'd be penalized to meet the requirements of SB 36. My other concerns with money coming through the learning opportunity grants are that those numbers do not use the adjusted student count, which was the purpose of SB 36, was to provide equitable distribution. And my other concern with learning opportunity grant money versus the House Bill 105, which would be an increase, is that learning opportunity monies are one-time monies, and we cannot provide long-term planning under one-time monies. If we get the money within the base student allocation value, that's a long-term commitment that we could make long-term plans on, and that's what we need to do at this point in time. So I would like to, again, thank you for letting me testify, and we are in favor of this bill, and whatever amount of money you could deliver to us under this bill, we would appreciate very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Kodiak's going to receive what representation?
It'd be, Mr. Chairman, it'd be $468,000 with this committee substitute.
All right. Thank you. And Dave, just to mention, your comments are well taken, and the chair and a number of representatives from Anchorage are well aware that if we use learning opportunity grants, not only would some of the problems that you address be prevalent, but Anchorage would get a much larger share of this money.
That's correct.
And frankly, we're willing to put it into the foundation formula to be fair. And I guess we'd like to have get an attaboy for that.
Attaboy, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Off net, Daryl Sanborn. And where are you from, Daryl? Okay, hang on a second. Representative Stevens, Unalaska.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't paying attention there. Unalaska would be a 44,000 increase in this CS.
All right. Go ahead, please, Daryl.
I appreciate the folks giving us the opportunity. I support 105. I would like to see that the foundation formula be increased. I think every time when we put money into education, it should go into the foundation formula, because that's something that we can count on. And I won't belabor that because I think we've talked about that a great deal. If there was anything else that we could do, it would be to look at that 60% issue that seems to be keep coming up all the time. But I appreciate the increase. I would rather see it at the 145 rather than the 101, but I think it's going in the right place. So I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. That will take us to Debbie Osander, who may not share my enthusiasm for fairness on a statewide view, but Debbie, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Representative Bundy. My name is Debbie Osander. I'm a member of the Anchorage School Board. I'm speaking today on behalf of the board. I'm very pleased to offer support for this bill. We'll do all that we can to make sure that you get the support you need and this goes through. I appreciate very much the recognition that we're hearing of the effect on school districts of inflationary costs increasing. We also are reeling from increased reliance on local property taxpayers to pay for our district budgets. We, in Anchorage, and we believe all through the state, are no longer able to be competitive in certain areas with employee salaries and employee positions. We've seen marked increases in unfilled positions and decreases in ability to attract sufficient qualified staff. For this upcoming year, our board had to cut over $12 million worth of programs and services just to maintain current levels of service in other areas. With that, I'd like to sign off
in
saying we are very much in support of this bill.
Thank you, Debbie, and appreciate your brevity.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just for the record.
$1.85?
$1.85, no. Anchorage, of course, under this $20 million foundation formula, would receive $6,775,000.
Thank you. And I think it would be appropriate to acknowledge your Representative Wilson's bill that is also going to look at the cost area cost differential. And so while the current foundation might get us more money, we're still also looking at adjusting the foundation as far as area cost differential as time goes on. And someone who probably is interested in area cost differential, Woody Wilson from Wrangell. And what does Wrangell do?
Let's see, Mr. Chairman, Wrangell will receive $75,000.
Mr. Wilson, Dr. Wilson, how are you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll make my comments brief. In the case of Wrangell Public Schools, there has not been an increase in funding for over a decade. School funding in Wrangell for children has basically been flat for 16 years. In fact, a senior at Wrangell High School today generated $42 more in state money than when that same student was in first grade. If you think about the 30% plus inflation over that same period of time this student has been in school, you can imagine all the cuts in courses, programs, services, and other curriculum areas that we've had to make. We need adequate funding to provide an adequate education. And I know you say, well, what is adequate? Well, inflation in Anchorage just last year from January to January was 2.4%. And since education funding in the state has been flat, the Association of School Administrators feels that a 5% increase would be a good start. All of you know fuel costs. that $145 increase would be a 3.68% increase. With 2.4% inflation, you'd get about 1.2% more money in real money than you got last year. If you reduce it to $101, that's 2.56% increase. And it only keeps up with inflation. So the figures that you're actually sharing with these school districts, that educates people on how much money you should be putting into this formula every year just to keep it the status quo. So I'm happy that you're doing that. You know, the comment was made earlier that $101 is a reasonable compromise. Well, in Wrangell, when we haven't had any new money in 16 years, my parents don't think that's very reasonable. And anyway, we would ask you to reconsider and ask you to put more money in this formula for kids, because in Wrangell we pay 12 mils in real estate tax, we pay a 7% sales tax, and something that legislators should also be asking is how much local money do communities put behind their kids? And in the case of Wrangell, we put $2,500 in local money behind our kids. And that's at the cap. That's all we can do. And a lot of communities put less in. So it's a good question to ask. And I appreciate your movement in the right direction. We just wished it was more money, because keeping up with inflation actually doesn't help us as much as we think we should. But thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. And I'm sure I speak for the committee that we wish we could do more. We also share your wish that there were some people who don't put anything into education locally that would make a contribution. In Anchorage, Rebecca O'Hara, please. And we've already mentioned what Anchorage would get in this.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a parent with three children enrolled in the Anchorage School District. Two are at Rabbit Creek Elementary and one is at Golden View Middle School. And I believe strongly in public education. I have watched and been aware of the education funding process for about 10 years, and I've seen the effects of the shrinking education dollar in Anchorage. The Anchorage School District is not what it was 10 years ago. Programs have been eliminated, maintenance has been seriously delayed or left completely undone, curriculum updates have been delayed or set aside permanently, and teacher salaries are no longer competitive. And I support accountability with the implementation of standards and other efforts, and I support the cost study. I appreciate that the state has faced declining revenues, and I have understood the need for a tightening of the belt. However, the line between the tightening of the belt and cutting off the air has been crossed, in my opinion. Education costs have increased and funding has not kept up, and we need to loosen the belt another notch to get some breathing room. So as a parent, I'm grateful that class size has been a priority of the Anchorage School District Administration, that we have dedicated teachers that routinely go above and beyond what is required of them, that we have curriculum standards, and that we have so many involved volunteer parents. My concern is that at the current level of funding, Anchorage schools cannot sustain their current services or expand services when and where necessary. Therefore, I, along with Rabbit Creek Elementary PTA, Rabbit Golden View Middle School PTA, the Anchorage Council of PTAs, and the Alaska State PTA, support this increase in the base student allocation of the funding formula. And this increase will enable schools around the state use the funds as needed locally to maintain and better our schools across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Rebecca, for being involved in our school system. That would move us now to Delta Junction and Dan Beck and our folks up there doing Representative Stevens.
Delta Greeley is at 104,000.
Delta Greeley School District. I'm representing one of those districts that do not support education through local effort. And so I thought, like, we'd get that out of the way right off the bat. And it's not because I don't believe we should. And if I could do anything about it today, get it happen. Since there's nobody else in the room here, very few people in the room here, I would say that one of the solutions is Senator Welkin's bill SB 48 that is in the House currently, and that could provide a solution for those districts that do have the wherewithal to provide that local support. But what I would encourage you to do is to pass HB 105, and I'd like to echo some of the other comments that were made. The inflation, fuel oil, and we had a mild winter in the interior. Our fuel oil bills went up, I think, about $75,000 this year. Electricity is going to follow because of oil-generated electricity. Inflation is just eating us up. Our salary schedule is the lowest in the interior, including Fairbanks, and actually lower than the Anchorage School District salary schedule. And we may have trouble recruiting teachers if we weren't laying off teachers. So I would encourage you to pass HB 105. I do think that we need more than $101 per student just to keep up with inflation. And I appreciate the time to testify today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan, and certainly do appreciate your support for local support, and I wasn't going to pick on you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But I noticed that you said that you were the only one person in the room when you could mention that. I understand that Gary Wilkins will probably not be invited to speak at your commencement exercise there this year.
Well, I talked to him about it.
But yeah, he's too big a target, I guess, literally and figuratively.
Well, I was down there earlier this session, and I did lobby for SB 48.
Yeah, thank you. A good many of us do support that, and it makes it easier for state money when there is local support. And we appreciate your efforts. We'll come back to Juno here now, and Rich, Mr. Kronberg.
Mr. Chairman, Juno is at $790,000.
He only in a very only broad sense represents That's Juno, right. But thank you for keeping the folks. I'm sure that is of interest to some folks.
Chairman Bundy, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rich Kronberg. I'm the president of NEA Alaska. And in the interest of allowing some other folks from our organization to speak, I'll be pretty brief. Chairman Bundy made a comment at the beginning that we are dealing with infinite needs and finite resources. Now, I don't know as the needs are infinite, but they are substantial, very substantial. Our expectations for public schools have increased exponentially, and the resources provided to our school districts have clearly not kept pace. An increase in the base student allocation is the best way to meet the needs of all Alaskan districts. Each district has unique needs, ranging from textbooks to heating fuel. All districts need the ability to attract and keep quality school employees. The best program for kids is a quality teacher in every classroom. The law of supply and demand hasn't been repealed, and our districts are no longer competitive in being able to do that. House Bill 145 will help in that regard. It does not go far enough. Other states have passed this by and have made substantial incentives to attract and keep quality staff, while our districts have not had the resources to do this. NEA Alaska is fully in support of our districts being provided the resources they need. House Bill 105 is an overdue positive step in the right direction. We hope that it is truly a first step in recognizing that investing in our children is the best use of Alaska's resources. Thank you.
Ed, I thank you. And also extend my thanks to NEA. We had an opportunity, I did it personally anyway, chat with teachers last night. I think of Mountain Village and Homer and Kenai Matsu. It's really useful to get a chance to talk to teachers across the state.
Thank you, and thank you for coming by. And thanks to the members of the committee for giving me this opportunity.
Mr. Jeans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the school finance manager for the Department of Education and Early Development. First of all, Mr. Chairman, I would like to applaud your comment earlier, and I believe it's the belief of this committee, that all funding should be run through the foundation formula, and the department has always advocated for that. And so I appreciate the recognition of this committee that that's the avenue that should be used. Mr. Chairman, the other thing is I'd like to point out is that with this $20 million increase and the $6 million in learning opportunity grants that the House has already passed, this falls short of what the funding task force recommended for an increase in fiscal year 2002 of about $8.4 million. So we just want to go on the record of acknowledging that. Mr. Chairman, I did prepare a schedule for the committee that I'd like to go over with you real quickly here, if that's all right. The department has been getting numerous phone calls asking us to run different funding levels of increases in the foundation program. We're hoping that this will answer many of those questions and relieve us of so many phone calls.
May I announce for those that are on teleconference that if they want to contact the committee, we can send them a copy of that if that might free you up to do some of your other duties.
That would be appreciated, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the first column in the spreadsheet shows the FY 2002 projected state aid under the current foundation formula. The next three columns show an increase of $20 million, which would increase the base student allocation by $101 to a total of $4,041. The first column shows the impact of the increase in the foundation program prior to the adjustments for the funding floor. That's another question that we get is, what's the effect of the funding floor on this increase? So if the funding floor was suspended, the increase cost for a $101 increase in the base student allocation would actually be $21,355,000. With the funding floor active, in other words, the reduction, the actual increase would be $20.2 million approximately. The next one we did was at a $25 million increase. This would increase the base student allocation by $126, or a total of $4,066 per adjusted ADM. This demonstrates the same type of scenario. The first column shows the increase without the floor adjustment. The third column shows the impact with the floor adjustment. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, the increase at $30 million would increase the base student allocation by $151. I'm sure districts would like $151,000, but
yeah,
$151 to increase the base student allocation to $4,091. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Well, you said $141,000 increase per district. It reminded me of a comment that the governor made of Wyoming made to the president of the University of Wyoming when they were discussing funding, and it's always been a challenge. He said, well, finally, in exasperation, the governor said, well, what if we just gave you the entire budget? And the university president said, well, we'd spend it all, but very carefully.
Mr. Chairman, one other comment I'd like to make that I didn't make is it's important that the funding, that any increased funding for schools go through the foundation program, because that also supports the lifting the cap on the local contributions. So when the legislature appropriates money like the learning opportunity grants outside the funding formula, that doesn't help the districts with their local cap, those that are up against the cap. Any money you put into the funding formula actually raises the cap. So those districts don't only benefit from increased state support, but they can also increase at the local level.
Mr. Jeans, you and I have had the pleasure of working together on school funding for several years, and I've always been very appreciative of your knowledge and your hard work. In the time we've worked together, we've gone through SB 36, and now we're looking at 105. How much did the foundation formula increase via SB 36? What was the total new state money that went into the foundation then?
Mr. Chairman, the increase under Senate Bill 36 was approximately $21 million in state general fund. But I'd like to point out, in the following years, that there was increased required local effort, increased impact aid. So the general fund commitment to the foundation formula has actually decreased by almost that $21 million.
As you pointed out earlier, when we increase the foundation local aid, and caps do go up. But in any case, we've put in 21 and now the potential for another $20 million, and that's been in 4 years. So I know there are people who always can use more, but we'd like to, again, point out that we have made some efforts and don't want those to be lost over. Questions for Mr. Deans? If not, thank you very much
again, Mr. Chairman.
Your work. Rod McCoy? Good morning, Rod.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak with you. I was shocked when I came in here. The first item of the day was to cut $9 million again out of hopes for children in education. I did not anticipate that, and I was very disappointed to observe that. My compliments to Representative Wilson and Guess and Jewell for their votes on that item. I do hope that you reconsider. It has been the rule of the day down here. I've been down here several years. To look at not education need, but as what is practical looking too practical at the budget and too much of an interest in cutting the budget. One representative had on his wall a plastic meat axe when I came down here as the theme of the day for his agenda here in Juneau. Well, not of his intention. Head Start lobbyists were coming around and putting on all of the doors drawings of children. This had the effect, of course, of having a meat axe held over the heads of the Head Start children. And that's exactly what has been the theme of the day down here for years. That must change. And it's going to take courage and excellence on legislative part in order for that to happen. We ask for excellence in education. If I were to just march in the general theme of the day in the classroom, if I were to not try new risks, try new practices, invent new efforts to reach children and to bring them on board in education, I could not be in pursuit of excellence. If I were to be accountable, as we're talking a lot of accountability, let's think a little bit about state accountability for education. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you rank at the 2% level in the nation for your ability to keep up funding for education. Alaska is dead last in relationship to other states in the nation that are much more ambitious in their hopes for children in their state. I don't think that's a very high accounting for the legislative practices in this state. You have to take risks. You have to try new methods. You have to work better than what you have been in the past. In Anchorage, this is the budget cuts that came out most recently. We're talking about hopes for teachers in their classroom. Try this one. We cut 17 elementary positions. We in physical education, elementary music and art, we've cut 9 positions. We've cut an elementary school counselor. We cut the learning opportunity grants. These are grants where teachers who are inspired by some special effort are able to get funding for that effort by writing up a grant so they can pursue that excellence. That's cut. In the elementary agenda for inter-school academic competition, in other words, I think this is the funding. Inter-school competition would be like for the mathematics competition that we have at the elementary level, where fifth grade students go compete with other fifth grade students. That has been cut. Textbook adoption. We need to have textbooks that meet the standards of this state. We need to train students to not only understand a concept in mathematics, but to be able to take that concept and write out their understanding of that concept. Our textbooks don't do that. We need to have new textbooks, thank you, to do that. These are the kinds of cuts that we're experiencing in education. If we're going to have quality and excellence in education, we've got to have quality and excellence in your pursuits in this in these halls. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Craig Barker, please.
Baker,
excuse me.
That's all right. My kids call me that sometimes.
Oh. Descriptive rather than name. Huh?
Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Chair Bundy and committee members. I'm from Kodiak, and I'm a teacher. I've taught 17 going on 18 years. It's hard to follow Rod's passion. I wish I would have gone first. But I want to look at this in three ways. First of all, on the statewide level, the difficulty we're having as a state for recruitment, especially retention of teachers. It's two large school districts in the northern part of the state for the last 2 years have lost over one-third. There's been one-third turnover of their teachers, and that's significant. And so that retention problem on a statewide level is very real. On the local level in Kodiak, in order to minimize the increased class sizes...
For whom the bell's toll.
We've cut programs like crossing guards, which we paid for before. We had no crossing guards. We've cut the swim trips from the villages, as well as the elementary swim program. You know, we do live on the water there. That's significant. Elementary band program has been cut. And Kodiak's fairly proud of being the state champion in basketball this year. It's been a long time coming. I was especially proud. I've coached a lot of those kids at the junior high level. And now we're losing sports travel. We just can't afford it anymore. And last, on the personal level, I've waited for 16 years for my colleague to retire from the high school so I could move up. I've been stuck in a time warp at seventh grade science for 16 years. I finally get there, and I find that the budget's been cut such that I can't do the sorts of things I want to do in science without spending my own money. I've already put close to $2,000 of my own dollars into my classroom. And I don't know if you're aware of how much money that teachers have to put of their own money into classrooms these days. My wife is an elementary teacher. Every year she puts a couple $1,000s into her classroom of our money because there's not enough budget. And she wants to be an exceptional teacher. And it's just getting worse and worse. Every year we lose budget and we lose budget and we lose programs. Again, it's 17 years. I still love kids and I still love teaching, but I got to tell you, it's not the same. And I'm constantly hearing it doesn't help to throw money at, that's not going to solve the problem, and I'm not arguing with you. But, you know, we need to maintain some basic things, and it's getting down to that basic level right now. It's not the same profession I got into. It's tough. You know, and it's costing me a lot of money. So it's real. I'm really excited that you guys are going to be able to push this through. You know, I've heard from a lot of people this is going to happen. We're going to get something. Granted, we lost $9 million today. Who knows by the time it gets through the Senate. I'm extremely proud of Gary for doing this first year here, and thank you for the support you've given this. And I just hope the next year and the year after that, that this subcommittee can meet and you guys can fight for more budget, because it's really, really a necessity. And it's real. Thank you.
Thank you. Christy Lorenz, is it? Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to meet with you. I'm from Bush, Alaska, Lower Yukon, and I represent Region 4 for NEA Board of Directors. I'm here today on behalf of the Bush villages that I represent, and I represent several large areas. My local district, in particular Lower Yukon, has 11 sites. This last year we had 52 openings. This year we have 60. A lot of it's to do with lack of funding for schools out there, lack of funding because of the living situations, that the district can't provide good housing for teachers. Also, because teachers can't afford to live out there and put their own money into their educational classrooms for the students. I myself am a special educator. I've been doing it for 20 years. If I've had every penny I spent on my students, I wouldn't have to work, but I know my students have benefited. Every year I put in at least $2,000 to $5,000 to benefit my students. And I know all my colleagues do too. Because we don't have up-to-date globes, maps. We don't have current reading materials. Most of our textbooks are anywhere from 10 to 15 years old. And our children are suffering from it. The bush is a very different situation in a lot of ways because we are totally dependent on state funding. We have no tax base. We have no revenue in the villages, especially in Lower Yukon, to bring added revenue in. So I am in support of this bill.
Alaska, and maybe we can find some that they can eke out. Carl Rose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards, and I'll try to keep my comments brief. I'd like to talk to you about the effect of the last 15 years on our educational system. You've had people testify to you, but I'm not sure that we're recognizing the gravity of what's taking place. You've heard the story about you boil a pot of water and you throw a frog in it, the frog pops out. But if you slowly boil that pot, the frog doesn't jump out. And we've been trying to do things for 15 years to improve the quality of education. We're about boiled out. Here's the point. We're no longer competitive. I'm the executive director of the School Board Association. I sit on the other side of the table from teachers. And we've been paring down and holding the line to such a degree that we are no longer competitive. And I'm pleading with you to take a look at the needs of the educational system and make the investment. I served on the A-plus committee. We came up with a report that identified $34 million. It was a modest request. I know it's a lot of money, but look at what's happened over the last 15 years. We have depleted the system. We've increased the accountability. I hear cries for accountability. It's accountability everywhere you look. We got benchmark exams. We got exit exams, high school qualifying exams. We're being required to do things that we've never been required to do before, and our ability to meet that challenge is being hampered. We tried to identify that, and as I take a look at this, I'm going to keep my comments as brief as I can. Senate Bill 36, the initiative was first to establish equity. Some of us disagree with that equity. But the second thing was to address adequacy, and adequacy has not been addressed. So basically, distribution and then adequacy, and we're still suffering from that today. The 30% loss of buying power has affected every portion of our operation. When we take a look at this funding floor, and I'm glad that Mr. Jeans has put this out, when we put the bill in place, we tried to ramp down those people who are going to have some protection. Now that the bill has been in place, I think we've accomplished that. And for a meager $1.2 million, you can eliminate that funding floor and treat everybody equitably so that people who get new students don't get discounted by 40%. You are aware of the argument, but I think that this description gives you an idea of how we treat everyone fairly. If you're looking at adequacy, dollars into the foundation formula should be distributed equitably, and I think that this funding floor does not accomplish that. We've ramped these people up, so I think we need to take a look at that. I do want to thank you for all the work that you're trying to do. I know the constraints that you're under. I'm working with the Alaskans United to try to take a look at talking to people about the loss of revenue and the increase of essential services in the state so that we can cultivate a better understanding of what we need to do to improve the quality of services in the state, the quality of life. I'm going to end by saying this. We have two choices. One is to crash headlong into the wall in the next 4 to 5 years, or two is to put together some kind of plan that vaults us over that wall and safely into the future. Our inability to do that will continue what we've done over the last 15 years to inadequately fund what we're trying to accomplish. We've set standards, and I'd like to help you reach them. But I also want you to recognize the last 15 years has taken a drastic toll on the educational system, and the people testifying today are trying to get you to realize that. It's been slow, it's been incremental, but it's been devastating. I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Well, just a comment, Carl. I don't want to reopen the SB 36 debate, but and that floor debate, but there were people getting money they couldn't justify previously. So you're talking about fairness. If we eliminate that floor, then we compound an unfairness in some people's minds. We don't eliminate unfairness. And we, of course, like to be Solomon-like and sometimes try to cut the baby in half, I guess. I represent a well-educated district that appreciates education, but the majority of people there still think the best way out of the state's financial difficulties is reducing state spending. The largest portion of state spending is education. So we're actually, I think, here, someone asked us to be brave earlier. We are going against the advice of many of our citizens, and we're attempting to increase state spending in this arena, not reducing it. And it's an old saw, but it's a valuable one. 100% of something is better than, or 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing. But
Mr. Chairman,
anyway, that's an old saw. I forgot it.
I don't want to leave the table before I thank you all for what you're trying to do. I understand the work that you're up against, and I also want to thank you for taking a good look at those learning opportunity grants and funneling whatever money we can through the foundation formula. That is the mechanism that we've decided that we would distribute equity on. So thank you very much.
Is there anyone else here that would like to testify on 105? Seeing none, and knowing that we have floor session.
I think we have one.
Oh, we do have one? Oh, yes.
I'm going to have to leave.
Yes.
For obvious reasons.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. And for the record, your name, please.
Excuse me. My name is Lucy Hope. I'm a teacher in the Mat-Su Borough School District, and I didn't hear Mat-Su online, so I decided I wanted to come up. And I'm also a member of the NEA Alaska Board of Directors. I wanted to talk a little bit about the retention and the difficulty we're having with recruiting teachers. In our district, we've hired 315 teachers in the last 4 years. That's 33% of our teaching force. 40% of those people have no teaching experience at all, and we are working very hard to support them in their beginning of their career because we are so desperate to retain them. We are having a very difficult time recruiting. I think it's interesting to know that our university's program in the state graduates only 30% of the teachers that we need to hire every fall across the state. That means if every one of those teachers went into teaching here in Alaska, we'd still have to go outside of this state and recruit 70% of the teaching force that we need every single year. And it's just more important than ever that we have a competitive salary and benefit package to offer those folks. I've been at recruiting fairs for special education, and it's really discouraging when people just walk right by the Alaskan recruiting booths and go talk to Los Angeles and New York City and Des Moines, Iowa, and it's just very disheartening. I also just want to say I really support your efforts to add more money into the formula for all the money reasons that were spoken to. And I think it's important to keep in mind that in the case of Mat-Su, we have an interesting situation with the assessed valuation increase. It's been phenomenal over the last 3 years. And because of the funding formula language, the deduct provision, next year the state formula will bring us $72 less per student than this year. And so even with the $101 increase that we're looking at here, the Mat-Su district will realize only $29 per student increase. And I just think that's an interesting piece of information in the big picture. And I'd urge you to really look at funding what the A-plus report brought forward. I think that would help everybody. It was a balanced report. I think it was a modest request. And thank you for your work.
Thank you, Lucy. And I certainly understand the competitive challenge of teacher salaries, because admittedly it was when the dinosaurs were still walking the earth, but when I came to teach in Alaska, I doubled my salary.
I did also, and had I stayed in the district I left, I would now be making $12,000 more just by staying there,
yeah,
which is interesting.
You live in Des Moines, and that's a big
No, I lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, that's even a bigger price to pay. All right. As a further testimony on 105, with comments from the committee before we close, Representative Guest.
I'm sorry, did you need to close the public testimony?
We will close public testimony at this point then, and Representative Guest.
Chairman Bundy, I'd like to move CS for House Bill 105 with individual recommendations.
Yeah. You were a late arrival, Representative Guest, and I had announced that we wouldn't be moving the bill today.
I'd like to challenge that. I think we've heard great testimony. I think as an education committee,
I object.
Do we need to vote on the